There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this beautiful Friday. And we are on location, Mahindra of Mobile Grand Opening for my man Chris here. And a brand new Mahindra dealership. We're on Hamilton. So if you turned, we're on Hamilton. It's 5242, I think, Hamilton. But if you turned off of Rangeline onto Hamilton before you get to 90, right here on the south side of the road. But you'll see all the red tractors and the FM Talk 106.5 mobile command unit. And let me do this, too. As people getting out, maybe you're taking your lunch hour here on the 1 o'clock hour, our most coveted FM Talk 106.5 item, the logoed item, swag, or whatever people call the stuff. We're different than all the other radio stations, I think, in the country, because we're different like that. You've seen the pictures. Maybe you've seen them in person. The rope-handled, multi-handled, heavy-duty fishing, gardening, whatever bucket. With the FM Talk 106.5 logo, those cool heavy-duty buckets. Got one for the next person who shows up here at Mahindra Mobile. Stop on by. All right, without further ado, as I mentioned before we went into the news, Attorney General Steve Marshall joining us now. Thanks for being on.
Hey, good to have you. Happy wonderful spring day, right?
Yeah, it is pretty awesome here. I'm sure it's that way throughout the state, but I know here in Mobile it's good stuff. Now, this is I've been waiting for what happened here. I've been waiting since... At first I couldn't figure out the bombing story when it came out over a weekend, you know, in Montgomery. And how long ago was that? Was that 2 months ago?
Sometime in February, yeah, a little less than 2 months ago.
And I remember hearing the story that it was like placed on a Saturday. And I remember just like the pieces of that information coming in. And then they said, oh, yeah, and it happened to be in front of the AG's office. Montgomery bomb. And then the next story, maybe Sunday afternoon, was like they said around the Capitol. And then it was like Monday, they said the AG's office. So I said, oh, gosh, I know that guy. So let's talk about this. First of all, having a bomb placed in front of your office. What was that like?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's unsettling. And for the people that work at our office, like Sean, I'm blessed to have roughly 180 people who are dedicated to serving the people of Alabama, you know, there was concern, and particularly knowing that initially there weren't a lot of leads, and we had no idea exactly whether we were the target or what the reason was. So I think there's been a sigh of relief for a lot of us with the arrest this week.
And the arrest this week, the clues that led to it were stickers?
Well, definitely stickers that, you know, are Antifa-related, and I think those have been publicly reported about where this offender lies philosophically. But, you know, there were multiple clues that law enforcement were able to piece together. And, look, Sean, this was some really, really good law enforcement work by both state and federal officials, really proud of the collaboration and the cooperation of those groups and, you know, led to the news of this week.
Yeah, and so this arrest that was made, and it has, you know, has been reported, this Kyle Benjamin Douglas Calvert, who is Antifa, trans Antifa activist or something. You know, I look at this and says, okay, the stickers, what was on there, and Antifa is really about bringing down everything that's government, right? Everything that's government, anything that's capitalism, those kind of things. Was it just he was looking for some? I mean, I don't know if y'all have gotten this much in the questioning here. Was it that anything that was the state of Alabama he was going after, or do you feel like it was specific to your office?
Well, I think that's yet to be seen. But look, I mean, Sean, the reality is that I'm the face of many of the controversial issues that we face in Alabama. We've been not bashful about pursuing a conservative agenda. And for somebody that on social media has blasted conservatives, has definitely been against the church and pro-abortion. You know, I'm an easy target for somebody like that, and yet not going to cause me to back down.
And so you've got this person. What's next here in this? The arrest has been made. What's next from your office?
Well, you know, this is a federal prosecution to initiate, and we potentially may have state charges. We'll evaluate that as we move along with our partners. But he has now made an appearance in front of a federal judge, and the timetable will be dictated by the federal courts as to prosecution. But as you know, federal cases can move quickly, and so we look forward to the prosecution team from the U.S. Attorney's Office being able to hold him accountable.
It's, I mean, people here think about Antifa and those discussions, so often think about Portland, Oregon, or so, you know, somewhere else in the country, not just Portland, tons of places. But we haven't talked about it as much in Alabama, but here this guy is. He's out of Irondale. I think, what was one of the stickers? Support your local Antifa. I didn't know they had, like, local chapters, but at least this guy is present in Antifa in the state. Is there anything that says he's not by himself?
Well, let's hope so. And look, Antifa is a loose network that operates across the country. There are many that are philosophically aligned with them that don't sort of put their head above water so that you know they're there. But let's also recognize not only the anti-government, but they're willing to use violence against the government. And what we saw when it was the vice law office, this gentleman is reflective of that philosophy, and we need to make sure that we're very vigorous in the prosecution and hold him accountable.
I was just joining us talking to Attorney General of the State of Alabama, Steve Marshall. So I guess a couple other things to talk about. You talk about the high-profile nature of what you do, and I think that's fair to say. Where are you right now on gambling? And I do use the – I mean, you and I talked about this so many times.
We've been talking about this for 7.5 years, and it's
right.
Very clear
and,
where I am.
And I'm a simple guy. I heard – like – and I actually – I mean, for people to know, we talk about it a lot. I don't even have a dog in the hunt. But I want to have a law that is equal to folks, right? We've had this situation in the state where I thought the Supreme Court said that machines were actually gambling, that weren't bingo, and but then they were operating openly. I mean, my frustration as a rule of law person, it's not even specifically about the law. It's just the law is not being obeyed by people, and it's open and flagrant. And now we're talking about, okay, well, we're going to crack down just in time to maybe codify it, right?
Well, and then we're going to reward those that have violated the law for years.
Right.
And I think that's one of the very offensive things for me. You know, to the extent the legislature wants to enhance enforcement, we welcome raising these to felony offenses, because definitely those that have been willing to thumb their nose up at the law really felt like there was no real accountability because of the misdemeanor nature of those offenses. We can raise these to felonies. I would fully support that, but we don't need some separate group that is the enforcement arm, nor do we need a separate law enforcement agency that's not accountable to anybody. We have the ability for local law enforcement to do their job. You've seen that in Mobile, for example. The sheriff and the DA have been lockstep on that for a long time. We have other places in the state where they're not doing it, and that's why we see these illegal activities perpetuate for years.
You do understand my cynicism, right, though? Like, not that it won't get done, but that now that we're talking about, and I don't, you know, we can get into the nuance of whether the changes the Senate makes are going to go through the House, all those things, but that we've talked about, you and I, like I said, talked about 7.5 years, and not much goes on in the legislature. Now, all of a sudden, they're on board with doing some enforcement because it's time to try to pass a bill. I mean, you understand where that brings cynicism out in me that says, like, either it's a dang law or it's not.
Yeah, I would say it's not just you. I mean, I think it's seen by many. And I've said before that there's no reason to tie enhancing enforcement with enlarging gambling that's lawful in our state. And we can definitely have the enforcement piece discussion separate and apart from sports betting or casino gambling across our state.
Yeah, like if a bill does, if the, you know, the CA and the supporting legislation, if that doesn't make it through, you know, are they going to now all of a sudden say, well, we're now back to normal and not interested in enforcing? That's the frustration, right? I mean, it should be separate.
Yeah.
If the law says it's against the law, then put the stricter penalties in there, the House and the Senate, and then from there, then if you want to address gambling down the road, that's fine, but enforce the law as it is now.
And we don't have to have a constitutional amendment to do that.
Yeah. I would agree. So we're on the same page.
Yes, we're absolutely on the same page.
Well, and I would argue this too in a kind of inverse way. If somebody who wanted desperately to get some kind of gambling legislation through, maybe the best thing that could happen would be strict enforcement of the law, so there wasn't any going on, right? Outside of sovereign lands and those things. So you
right.
strictly enforce the law. In a way, actually enforcing what is on the books may be a catalyst for those people who want to see, you know, something go through through Montgomery to legalize it.
Yeah, and I think, again, the frustration that we've had is when we move to shut down facilities, obtain valid court orders to be able to do so, and then we see 6 months later or less where they spring back up in communities in which some law enforcement officials simply said, we're not going to enforce the law. And you know, we have public officials who have sworn an oath to enforce the law as written, not what they may want it to be. And we need to make sure that that's something they continue to do.
All right. I want to talk to you about ethics, something else you and I have talked about for a while. And we seem to be, I don't know, our radio station seems to be at the crux of a lot of that discussion that went on. You know,
yeah.
It's been,
right.
I'm just a guy that asks questions. People are like, well, did you have a design on it? I said, no, I just ask questions. But
right.
where we are with Representative Simpson's ethics bill and then some of the big news, of course, with McDonald, you know, resigning from the ethics board. Where are you in the AG's office on this? What's your opinion?
Yeah. We've opposed the bill. I think publicly we've written as to why. You know, we've shared with Representative Simpson, who you know, has led this charge, some of the changes we think that need to take place. They have chosen not to accept those changes. And, Sean, here's, I guess, fundamentally where I'm coming from. And let's use the gift provision as an example. Do the people of Alabama really believe we need to raise the amount of gifts that can be given to public officials?
Well, well, I think people will say, hey, should it be different for, like, state employees or people that are teachers versus somebody who's a legislator, right, who can vote on something?
Right, and yet we're raising it across the board for everybody to the point it's $500, I think, on an annual basis coming from certain individuals. And, you know, the other thing that we've written about is the concern about the civil regime that is adopted here that would allow somebody to basically be fined for an intentional violation of the ethics laws. And again, I think historically we view that as criminal provisions that need to move forward, and we don't think that we need to change from the current structure.
What about this giving opinions or and those not being public? And you have obviously the attorney general, you have a lot more insight into this. Me, just a hayseed guy from Mobile, says I would like that information to be, they don't even have to declare who the person who asked the question was, but to have it up so if I'm somebody who works for the state or a legislator, I can go, hey, let's see about this. Their opinion said no, you know, or their opinion said yes. Like that it would be some kind of frequently asked questions, you know, like at a website, the FAQs.
Yeah, no, we have no objection to that. In fact, you know, many of my conversations with Representative Simpson have been around the structure and accountability of the Ethics Commission itself. I know they have made some changes, like the one you've described, that are positive. We think there are more that can be done, but there's no doubt that fundamentally when we had discussions before the session, those who were proposing the bill, it was first we need to deal with the Ethics Commission itself, and then we can move to what changes people think may need to take place and the enforcement mechanism.
And I think whatever's done, it needs to be done and be clear to people, because I think for myself and a lot of people that I hear from, they have doubts about the Ethics Commission. So many questions come up, and it gives them doubts that, you know, is this really ethical? What's being done? They just hear a lot of turmoil over it, and then so I think that leads to doubt of how that process works.
And I think the transparency you described earlier is a critical piece of that, as well as consistency in what we're seeing come out with regard to advice offered by the commission to public officials and how they conduct themselves.
Good stuff. I will be waiting for updates on this. We'll see what happens here in the last, what do they have, 8 days now left in session?
In 8 to 10, yeah. But, yeah, they're still here for a little while longer.
All right. Attorney General Steve Marshall, thanks for your time. Thanks for being on with us.
Thanks.
And get down here and see us soon.
Yeah, y'all have a great weekend.
Will do. There he goes, Attorney General Steve Marshall. And more Midday Mobile coming up next. We are live at Mahindra Tractor, and they're feeding you lunch. We're giving you FM Talk logo goodies. No reason for you not to do a little U-turn and come have lunch with us right here on Hamilton Boulevard in Theodore.